Our teaching tonight is in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. And so if you'll turn there, Colossians, chapter 1.
Did you get through Hebrews 5?
Yes, sir, we did. Amen. So it's a... Colossians are all good, but Colossians is a good book. It's Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. And it's a town that was, it's no longer in existence. I think it may be something close to it that's different name. But anyway, names change. People's names change. People's character change. That's the reason their names change sometimes. No. But we're going to do about Christ is preeminent in the church, and we've studied that about Christ being preeminent, and in creation, and Christ being preeminent in redemption, verses 19 through 23, chapter 1. And now we'll deal tonight with Christ being preeminent in the church. And we'll start with verse 34. Colossians 1:34, pardon me, I'll get it right in a minute, 1:24. Let's just ask God's blessing before we begin. Father, I pray, Lord, you bless the ministry of the Word of God tonight. Anoint your servant to speak. Anoint us all to hear, to understand, to receive of you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Christ is preeminent in the church, and by that we mean that he is in a place of superiority, rank or dignity. That's what preeminent means. But verse 24, and now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery of among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to the working which works in me mightily. Okay, so we're talking about Christ being preeminent in the church, and so when it comes to Christ in the church, I mean, the only way the church really can be what it ought to be is for Christ to be central in the church. Right. Amen. It's not about the preacher, the pastor. It's not about the deacon. It's about Christ. Amen. All of those functions happen in the church, and God put them there. Thank God for that. But Christ must be glorified in the church. Amen. So, and a church is simply a gathering to be people. And there's a word for it. I can't think of it right now, but it means an assembly or a gathering, people gathering for worship. These people here are probably assembly of God. No. Anyway, that's what church means, a gathering or an assembly of people. And so there's, like all churches, Colossae had some problems, this church did. And certain members were teaching that the observance of Jewish rules about food, the Sabbath, and special festivals would be help believers earn their salvation. And so we know that salvation cannot be earned. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so we know that this teaching Paul had to deal with, and he had to deal with it almost every church that he founded, there were some Jewish people and there were some Gentile people that weren't Jews. And so they had to learn to get along, even being raised differently and with different standards. And so, and you go all around the world, you'll find that people just don't think just exactly like you do. And so you get different cultures, different ways of looking at things. And so it's just different. And so Paul intends to bring these people to Christ, and in unity they could be as one people in Christ in pursuit of one thing, and that is evangelize the world and to establish houses of God, works of God, churches in every place that they went. Another problem they had, some of the Gentile members were apparently also promoting a form of mysticism that claimed that Jesus was a higher being but not God. And so we find that just very openly today throughout all cults and false teachings claim that Jesus was something less than deity, that he was a good man or a good teacher with a good set of rules, but not God. But we know the truth is he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And on this rock, Jesus said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. So we know that Jesus is not just somebody that's sort of God. He is God. Amen. There's three, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and a oneness and a unity that's very powerful. Okay, so Paul refutes these false doctrines by pointing to Christ. And Jesus had been the focus of Paul's preaching from the beginning. You know, Paul didn't go out and say, you know, you'll learn more about this gospel if you'll just look at me. No, he said he preached Christ. His death, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. He preached Christ, and they had no eye. When he got done preaching, all they could see was Jesus. And that's good. And so Paul suffered many times. As a matter of fact, this is one of his prison ministries, believed to be. And so he suffered many things for the kingdom of God, for the gospel. And we don't know what suffering is compared to what Paul suffered. But he suffered in prison so that the life-changing gospel could be preached to people. And Paul was given the responsibility to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And Gentiles were people that were anything but Jew. Amen. If it makes you feel any better, you're a Gentile. So am I. And so he was given the responsibility to preach to the Gentiles. That was a special calling of an apostle to the Gentiles. And this would, the word of God would be proclaimed, good news to all races of people. And so, you know, Paul was a Jew, but for him to get out it was against Jewish law, or what they had made the Jewish law to be, for him even to get and go out and eat with somebody else. I mean, he couldn't go to IHOP. He couldn't do anything. Anyway. But for him to even go into another home of a Gentile home was really regulated by the laws, many of the laws that scribes and Pharisees had made up. And so, but God has always been wanting to reach the whole world, all races of people, all kinds of people, all cultures of people. And that's who Jesus, or that's what God, that was God's plan from the beginning, to reach the whole world. And so sufferings from Paul probably more central is the idea of the union with Christ involves our identification with him. If we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together with him. Romans 8 tells us that. And Gentiles being part of the kingdom of God been prophesied in the Old Testament. If you read Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 30, you'll find there that God had plans for the Gentiles. And so the whole purpose of Jesus coming to the earth was not just to save the Jews, but to save Gentiles as well. And I'm glad we're included. Praise the Lord. And so Paul was called into being an apostle to the Gentiles. And I want to reflect on this a little bit before I get right into the verses here. Let's look at Acts chapter 9. And we'll see that Paul's special calling was to the Gentiles. And before Paul was saved, he wasn't just a good old boy. He was pretty bad. As a matter of fact, I had an Indian preacher tell me one time that Paul was an Indian because he called himself the chief sinner. Okay, the same Indian guy called Jesus an Indian too, his chief cornerstone. But anyway, be that as it may, we know that Paul was a man that he suffered much for the cause of Christ, and he promoted the gospel wherever he went. I mean, if the devil was never at ease if Paul was awake, because he was going to preach Christ, whether in prison, out of prison, on the way to prison, or on the way back from prison, he was going to preach Christ, no matter what. And so at his conversion, when he was Saul of Tarsus then, later become the Apostle Paul, God told, you know, we know on the Damascus Road, Saul of Tarsus, he was stricken down, a bright light shone about him, and he met God there. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And he said, "I want you to go into this town," and said, "I've got a guy there that's going to pray for you." I'm putting this in my own words. We know he called Ananias, And he said, I want you to go and pray for Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias says, Lord, I've heard many bad things about Saul of Tarsus, how he persecutes your church and how he tries to, and he commits people to prison. He said, are you sure I'm not supposed to go here? And Ananias is kind of like us sometimes. You sure? Are you really sure God said that? Well, he did. But God told him, Acts 9, 15 says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, and I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now that's a call of God upon a man's life. And God told him stronger details than you and I would like to hear. He said, you're going to represent me, but you're going to suffer some things for it. And Paul suffered many times. You know, he was beaten with rods. He was stoned once and left for dead. He endured all kinds of shipwreck. And everything that could happen to a person and still survive happened to Paul. Okay? But he became an apostle to the Gentiles. God called him, and he willingly obeyed. He had such a revelation of Christ and the gospel that he was willing to preach the gospel wherever he went. And is the work of God in his life. And so he would do the same here at the church in Colossae. The Colossian church. And he says in verse 24, I rejoice in my sufferings. Amen. I've never told anybody, I'm just so glad I'm sick. Maybe it wasn't sickness here, but his sufferings for where he was put because he was preaching the gospel. And what is lacking in my afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. Paul says, I'm doing this just for the church here. If I have to suffer to get the church and keep it going, that's what I'm going to do. And so he was willing to pay the price, whatever the cost was, to follow God and to follow the will and a purpose that God had laid up for him. You and I need to be willing to do that as well. And so it may not mean prison time for Christ. It could mean. I'll tell you what, persecution could get very strong here in the U.S. We don't even really know what it is. We think if somebody makes fun of you because you're a Christian, that's persecution. Well, it may be in a sense, but there's people that die for their faith throughout our world. And so, here Paul says, you know, I've suffered for the sake of the body, his body, which is the church. Okay? And so Paul's responsibility here with his Gentiles was to preach the gospel, Jew or Gentile, whatever there was in this place. God formed a church out of it, and Paul was going to preach to them. In verse 25, which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, that responsibility from God, which was given me to fulfill the word of God. So Paul was given the responsibility to go and to preach and establish a church here. It had come from God. His call didn't come because he wanted to be popular or because he had to prove something to somebody. But his call was here because God had sent him here. And so he writes his letter to this church. Okay, and so he was there for them, whatever they were. And much of Paul's mission was to bring Jew and Gentile together in unity around the faith. And you say, they couldn't go around and say, well, you know, I'm a good Jewish person because I do this and I do that. Or I'm a good Gentile because I don't do this or do that. But no, he brought them together because in Christ we're one. Right. And this was part of the mystery that he's speaking about here. Verse 26, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages, from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. And the mystery here hidden, now revealed, is the redemption of the whole Gentile world as well as for the Jews. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right? So we see that God had always made it his goal. If we read throughout the Bible, God never was a one people God. He formed one nation to bring his son through, Genesis 12. And through this nation, all the world would be blessed because God would bring Christ through Abraham's descendants, and it would be the salvation of the whole world for whoever would believe. So I'm glad for that. Praise the Lord. And so, God's whole plan for the gospel for the whole world is seen throughout the scriptures. As a matter of fact, God used the nation of Israel to bring the gospel to the whole world. And even when we find Israel going into the Canaan's land, in the Canaanite culture and the Canaanite, which was awful, it was to the point, it had risen to the point that God said, it's time to judge these people. And God would use Israel as a judge. He said, I want you to wipe out everything. Their cattle, their donkeys, you know, their everything that's living has got to go. Because it was God's judgment upon them. We may think this is cruel. You know, let's understand, we're not the judge, God is. And it had grown in sin to the point where it demanded God's judgment. That's how righteous God is. God is merciful forever, much more merciful than you and I. But when it comes to a time of judgment, God said, I've had enough, it's time to judge. It happened in Noah's day. It will happen again, I believe, very soon. God will not destroy the earth with a flood like he did in Noah's day, but with fire, eventually. Okay, and so, judgment on the Canaanite world. God would show the Canaanites that their gods weren't really gods at all, just like he showed the Egyptians, that there's only one true God. And people seem to have trouble with this, Christianity being an exclusive gospel, because it is. The gospel is exclusive. It excludes everything except the gospel of Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That makes you can't get to God through Islam. You can't get to God through Hare Krishna. You can't get to God through Buddha. You can't get to God through all avenues that people have invented and tried to figure out. You can only get to God through his Son. But I'm thankful that you can. God made a way. And the only way this could happen is God to become man. Amen. Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men could become the children of God. Praise the Lord. And so, today, if Christ is not promoted as the way, the truth, and life, then all that's left is what man's idea of God may be. And that is everywhere. And so, however, where the true gospel has been preached in all the world, people have been saved, brought out of spiritual darkness into spiritual light. People have been transformed. The testimonies are numerous everywhere where God saves people. Amen. Everywhere, all types of people, people that you and I would never save, but the mercy of God goes much further than ours. How do I know that? Because he saved me. Man, praise the Lord. Verse 28, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Okay? Let's just notice the words there. Him we preach. Not preach a religion for certain peoples, but Christ to all peoples. Many wars have been fought over religion throughout our world, over belief systems. Amen. It goes back as far as Genesis, if you want to look at it this way, and I do. Cain and Abel. You know, Cain, you know, he brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. The Lord didn't have respect unto it. Abel brought sheep of his own flock, which were required a shedding of blood, and God accepted that. And so Cain got mad and he killed his brother. So that's the first religious war. But yet, God dealt with Cain, tried to get him to repent, and said, if you will do what's right, God will accept you as well. And so mankind is very hard-hearted, and mankind is willing to do many things just because of what they believe or what they feel like they got wrong, done wrong on. Okay. But God chose Paul for the Gentiles, and God has chose us as well. It's a familiar scripture, 1 Peter 2:9, where the writer there tells the church, he says, for you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you from darkness into his marvelous light. You see, regardless of what race of people there may be, that God has called people, there are people that they have to be called out of darkness of sin. They have to be called in to the light of Christ that they may know Christ as their Savior. Amen. So, the world is in darkness until Christ is preached. And it says here, him we preach. Verse 28, 1. Him we preach, warning every man. And so, not to preach a religion for certain peoples, but to preach Christ. And so, You know, people split easily over things. The first, murder. And then we have, in our world today, the denominational thing. Many denominations formed over a split over beliefs. Let me give you this example. I thank God for this, but almost anywhere where there's a little town or community or any of any kind, anywhere around East Texas, there's a Baptist church there. And I'm not here to run down the Baptist. Don't get me wrong. It's not that at all. But I was talking to the man one time. He was in a church, in a small Baptist church, and they'd built a building, and they were wondering what to call it, and it was a little place called Divide. And so they wanted to name it Divide Baptist Church. And half the members said, no way, we're not going to divide. They got mad at each other and church split. So that they didn't want to call it Divide, so that the people that didn't want to call it Divide, they went down and built a church and called it Harmony. Harmony Fellowship. Okay. But that's the way people are many times. And so, the denominational thing, you know, I don't believe there's an Assembly of God edge of heaven or anything. And I believe people that are truly born again of God's Spirit, I love the Assemblies of God. That's what I am. But anyway, when we get to heaven, it's going to be people that are just born again that know Christ as their Savior. That's what heaven's going to be. And so, divisions come in God's people when there's a split over worship or when Christ isn't the center. When the Bible isn't used to settle issues of right and wrong, it's bad. Because God's given us His Word to define specifically what is right and what is wrong. So let us promote Christ. He's the bread of life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. Amen. He's the vine and we're the branches. So we see that it's Him we preach. And this was throughout the early church. Acts 8 and 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria. And Jews would have nothing to do with Samaritans because Samaritans were a mixed race. They weren't 100% Jewish. And so it's kind of like the Americans. We're not 100% anything. We're all got a little of everything in us. I hope that makes you feel better. So Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ to them. He didn't preach, this is a Jewish religion, you've got to come here. No, he didn't preach religion to them. He preached Christ to them. And Philip had a habit of doing that. I'm glad that he did. Later on, Philip went down to Ethiopia and found a eunuch carrying scriptures back to the queen. And he was reading in the place of Isaiah and Philip joined himself to the man there and said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, no. He said, and then he read Isaiah 53, I believe it was. There were no chapters and verses in those days. But anyway, he read and said, is this prophet Isaiah, is he talking about himself or some other man? And from there, Philip opened the scriptures and showed him how that the passage was relating to Christ, and he preached Jesus to him right there. And so he was converted. They came to the water and says, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, nothing. If you believe with all your heart, Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead. And so he baptized him. He became a believer. Amen. So that's where Jesus is preached. I mean, it didn't take all kinds of, you know, you got to do this, got to do that. No, he preached Jesus to him. Simply Christ's burial, death, burial, resurrection, life, death, burial, and resurrection. And that was good enough. Praise the Lord. And today, even in Muslim countries where the gospel and the Bible are forbidden, where Christ is preached there have been countless conversions from every race of people. Because you see, when somebody converts from Islam to Christianity, they immediately incur the death penalty. May not be that way in all Islamic countries, but generally, that's pretty much the general rule. It earns the death penalty when you reject Allah and take Christ instead. But, my friend, let us never give up on people. He didn't give up on us. Let us pray. Live Jesus. Preach Jesus. Proclaim the gospel. Amen. And so, there's a scripture that'll help us there in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. This is backing up a book or two. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So I think that pretty much, unless I'm really slow, that includes pretty much everybody. Amen. Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, Christ is the answer for that. Praise the Lord. And so God does not distinguish or differentiate between wherever you were born or where you grew up. He just calls you out of darkness, of sin, to His marvelous light. That does not mean that God accepts everything in every culture. What sin is sin, and God defines it in the Scriptures what sin is. But God did not leave anybody out. He didn't leave me out. He didn't leave you out. And I praise the Lord for that. And here He didn't leave the Colossians out either, even though they were a Jew-Gentile mix. Amen. Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And that's the only way that we can be presented perfect in Christ, is because of Christ Jesus. And we're clothed and covered with the righteousness and the perfection of Jesus the Son. And Paul says, to this end, I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. And so the gospel had been preached there, it had been taught there, there was a church established there, and there was a light that would shine there for other peoples to be saved, born again, have the hope of eternal life. Amen. And so they were committed to the cause of Christ. God uses everybody. God uses the church. And if I can take just a minute here. Preachers are bad about making a minute turn into a lot more than a minute. But God uses everything in the church, and Paul made it very clear in 1 Corinthians 12 that every part of the body is important, you know. And, you know, if your head hurts, it tells your whole body you're hurting. Doesn't mean that there's some people that are only a headache. But you may have one. And, you know, the eye can't say I don't have any need for the ear, or the ear can't have say I don't have any need for the toe or the foot. But they're all necessary to complete the body. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's interesting to me that in the Old Testament, I preached a sermon on this one time long ago, and I haven't preached it since. I'm not sure I ever got over it, the people ever got over it. But you're wondering what it was, so I'm going to tell you what it was. There's a place in Scripture, several places really, that when the priest ministered in Israel, they were the ones that would apply the blood, and they would, the oil, and they would do the things that the priests did. And so Moses commanded them what they were to do. It would take some of the blood and put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear, on the foot, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. You say, well, how'd you get a sermon out of that? Well, it's pretty easy. Amen. You hear what God has to say, the blood on the ear. Thumb of the right hand, you do what God tells you to do. The big toe, you go where God tells you to go. But so God uses, that's a kind of a figurative sense, but God uses the body of Christ, all members, all gifts of the Spirit that God gives people to cause the church to go forward. And when the church goes forward, it's because Christ is being glorified and magnified and lifted up. And so that's what we want to do with. We want Christ to be central in what we do, what we say, what we sing about, what we preach about, what we talk about. Let's let Christ be Lord and King of all, and we'll be doing the will of God. Praise the Lord. Amen.